Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Ooh, you say
have your Bible with you this morning, if you could take it and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10, and we'll begin looking at verse 12 here in just a few moments. A few months ago, I was getting ready for hunting season and getting my stuff together, and I realized that I needed new batteries. So I pulled the batteries out, you know, those little round batteries that you never know what size they are. So I grabbed those and I threw them in my pocket, knowing that Rebecca and I were going to go run some errands later on that afternoon, and that I would eventually go pick up some batteries. And so we're out, and she needs to stop by Natural Grocer. So we pull into that parking lot there. And I couldn't think of a good reason to go in the Natural Grocer. I have nothing in there I want, nothing I desire. So when she went in there, I decided to run across the parking lot to Kmart, and I would just go pick out my batteries. So I run over to Kmart, and I get in the battery aisle, and I pull those batteries out of my pocket, those little batteries, And I go to read the numbers and letters to figure out what battery I needed, and I couldn't see them. I'm looking, I've got them, put them close to my eye, and I'm moving them further away, and I cannot read those numbers. And so I move over to a different part of the store underneath a bright light, and I'm trying to read them, and I still can't read those numbers. And so I pull my flashlight out, and I get the flashlight out, and I'm trying to make it. And I, for the life of me, I couldn't see it. Somebody suggested I got my phone, took a picture, make it larger. I wish I'd have thought of that. But I didn't. I called Rebecca at Natural Grocers, and I said, Beck, where do they keep their reading glasses at Kmart? Because I can't see these for the life of me. So I had to go get reading glasses and put them on, saw the numbers and letters and got the right batteries and moved on my way. As I was preparing this message and thinking about that story, I thought about Philip in the book of Acts. As he is ministering to this Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch is riding in a chariot and he's reading scripture. And Philip goes to him and asks him and says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I understand unless somebody tells me? You know, sometimes we see things not very clearly. And then I think there's a lot of people around our world, people that we interact with every day, that have maybe an interest in the gospel. They're interested in Christianity, but they don't really understand it. They can't see it very clearly. And they need a better picture, a better understanding, and a clearer vision of what God has for them. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 12, we see Paul addressing our need to go share this message of salvation. It says here, for there is no distinction between Jews or Greeks, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are feet of those who bring good news of good things. The message of salvation is good news. And we all like good news. Who doesn't like to get good news? I mean, if somebody came, said to you, or if you found out or that you just inherited $1 million, would that not be good news? Who here would say that's not good news, right? $1 million, that would be really good news. We would be excited, pretty good news. But what if you inherited that $1 million and nobody told you? It was yours, but nobody told you. Is the news still good? That's great news. You just don't know about it, right? It's still good news. It just doesn't have any impact on you. You know nothing about it. The good news is good. The gospel is good news. It is good news to everybody. There are just some people who have no idea how good the good news is because nobody has ever told them. This morning we're going to look at the very simple message of salvation. The message of salvation that impacts our life and the message of salvation that we need to share. This is a message of salvation that is for all people. It says here in verse 12, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding for riches for all who call on him. There is one God, and we are all on equal standing before God. In this passage, Paul, he's had a constant tension with the Jewish leaders over the Jews versus the Gentiles, and there was this tension going on. And the Jews, they were God's chosen people. These were people that thought very highly of their standing before God. And then you had those lowly Gentiles out there doing all who knows what. And there was this tension. And the Jews thought, hey, if these Gentiles would just become more like us, then they would find God and God would have favor on them. And so there was this tension that was going on between the Jews and the Gentiles. And sometimes that same tension happens in our world today. As church people, we think if people would just be more like us and a lost world would quit acting as lost, then maybe they would find God. And that tension still happens. But the truth is we are all come before God on equal standing before him. And we all come to him with an opportunity to call on his name and to respond to him. The Great Commission that Jesus gave his followers in the book of Acts was to go and take the world to all nations, to take it to everybody. And as we looked at the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, it's an opportunity to be involved in all the world, in all nations. The International Mission Board, whom we send that money to, has just over 3,600 missionaries around our world. 3,600 missionaries that are in places that most of us will never get to go. Of those 3,600 missionaries that are serving, they are reaching about 811 different people groups of people with the gospel. And then here's the part that really concerns me. There are still about 3,000 people groups around the world that are unreached. that have no gospel presentation whatsoever. And so as we send money through the Live Wound Christmas offering, and we're involved in that, we put 100% of the money goes directly to missionaries to take the gospel to these places, to reach people with the good news of Jesus. Now, let's forget about the world. What about Wyoming? You know, in Wyoming, we live in a state that statistics say about 90% of the people in our state are unsaved. 90% of the people, as we're sitting here worshiping this morning, are not sitting in a Bible-believing church worshiping God. There are places in Wyoming where there are, this is crazy thought, but there is no gospel presentation. Now, we have communities. We have a missionary, a church planter that's in Cali right now. He's up there starting a church in Cali. They are worshiping this morning. They are the first evangelical church of any kind ever in that town. And that's not across our world. That's in our state. That is in Wyoming. And we have the opportunity to be involved in Wyoming and to share the gospel and the good news of what God is doing. This is for all people, people that are right around where we are and people all across our world. And these people that we share with, they have an opportunity and a responsibility to respond to the gospel. Their gospel message, you know, a very simple message, but a message that there's a lot of confusion on and what it means. And so there's times when I'll sit with students, or I'll sit with people, and we'll talk about salvation, we'll talk about a relationship with God, and I'll walk them through that simple message. We start in Romans 3:23, and I'll say, look, we are sinners. We are here, and for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are sinners. We are separated from God because of the choices that we make, because of the sin in our life. We are separated from God. And I walked them through Romans 6:23, and we'll talk about the wages of sin is death. What we earned, what we deserve, what we need because of our sin is separation from God. That's what we deserve. That's what we've earned. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God gives us a great gift, a free gift of God. We can have eternal life. How does that come? We talk about salvation coming through Jesus, paying the penalty for our sin, for Jesus paying that price on the cross, for him going into the grave, but most importantly, that he came back to life and resurrected again. And then I walk him through the passage I read during the scripture reading in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, where it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So we walk through that message of salvation. That message is so important, and that's the message that we're asking people to respond to. That's the message that God asked us to respond to. What do we do with the gospel of Jesus? This is the salvation that brings us forgiveness of sin. This is the salvation that gives us eternal life. This is the salvation that lets us be in right standing with God. This is the salvation that gives us access to the creator of the universe, to the God who loves us. And we must respond to that message of salvation. And that message of salvation needs to be shared. In verse 14, it says, how will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? That's the message to be shared. How do we expect people around us to respond to a message of salvation if no one ever shares it with them? See, sometimes I think that we believe, maybe we won't say this out loud, we believe that salvation is kind of like the flu or the cold, that if you're just around it, you're going to catch it, right? And so if you're around somebody who's sick and eventually you hang out with that person, you're going to get sick. And I think sometimes we want the gospel to be the same way, that we expect people, if they just hang around the church, if they just hang around some Christian people, eventually they're just going to figure it out. And they're going to get it, and then it's all going to be good. And that's not the message. This is a message that we have to proclaim. It's an action message, right? If we have good news, we need to go share the good news, right? So I love to hunt, and if I kill an elk, I'm going to share that good news, right? I'm not even going to get back to town yet before I'm on the phone making a call telling somebody, hey, guess what? I killed an elk. Because it's good news, right? If you find a great deal shopping, you're going to express that good news. And don't pretend like you don't, because I have Facebook, right? And I see people will go shopping, and they'll put all the stuff they bought, and they'll mention, and they'll say, I saved such and such money. And I start calculating in my head, thinking, well, if you save that much money, how much money did you spend? But anyway, but we do. We proclaim good news. If my child does something good, and they achieve something, I'm telling people about it, and I'm bragging on my child because they did something good. It's football season. Your sports team wins. You proclaim that news. You want people to know. You plaster it everywhere, right? It's all over social media. That's the stuff you put on there, right? You proclaim good news. You want everybody to know good things that are happening. You know, I read Facebook and I see things like this. I see things like, if you like and share this, Jesus will bless you. If you like and share this, God will bring his blessings on you. And I just read that and I picture God up there going, man, I sure hope they hit like. And if they don't share, I'm not giving them a blessing, right? God's up there going, I would like to bless them, but they didn't like and share that, so no blessings for them. I see those kind of things, and sometimes we give a false message of the gospel of Jesus. We play something that's not true. Polls say that less than 10% of Christians have shared their faith verbally with somebody in the past year. Less than 10% of people who call themselves Christians, who are followers of Jesus, have verbally sat down with somebody and shared the message of salvation. We'll share every other message of good news. Why do we not share the message of salvation? I get it. Sometimes it's intimidating and sometimes it's scary, and religion and politics are the taboo subjects. But if this is really good news, then this is news that we have to go and we have to share. And we need to pray for opportunities to do that. But not only do we have to share the right message, but the right message needs to be understood. The people are sure they have to hear the right message. See, because sometimes we hear things like this. If I just follow God, then things will be better in my life. If I just start going to church, if I start doing the right things, then something is going to be better. Or if I just follow God, then I'm going to be happy and my life is going to be content. Those are false messages that people hear. That's not the truth of the gospel. Those are wrong messages. God, here's another one. God just wants you to be healthy. You know, if you just follow God, God's going to give you everything that you want, and God's going to take care of you, and you're never going to have any other issues in your life, right? How false is that? We all know that that's not true. And I don't know how somebody who reads the Bible comes to that message, right? I don't know how somebody can read about what the disciples did and what happened to them and say, God just wants you to always be happy, and he wants you to be healthy, and he wants you to have everything that you need. That's not the gospel message. The gospel message is we are sinners, and we need a Savior. That's the message. That's what has to be heard. That's what has to be understood. We're inviting people into a right relationship with God. We're inviting people to come and meet our Savior. And sometimes because we get a little shy of doing that, we want to invite people to other things. And we invite people, hey, if I'll just invite you to church. And if you come to church, then maybe they might catch the gospel, right? I'm going to invite them to a Bible study. If they come to the Bible study, hopefully they catch the gospel. And maybe they will understand it. And I'm not telling you not to invite people to church. Please keep inviting people to church. Please keep inviting people to come to Bible studies. Do that. But we're not just pointing them to church, because there's no church membership that's going to get anybody into heaven. You know, it's not like we're going to get to heaven and God's going to say, where's your membership card? Let me see your baptism record. It's to a relationship with Jesus. That's what we're inviting people to. That's what we have to do. They must receive the right message and respond to the right message. When I was in college, early on, I was just putting my life where it needed to be and walking with the Lord and trying to kind of refigure some things out in my life. I was sitting at a church service, and there was a service came to an end, and we had the invitation just like a good Baptist church does, and I'm sitting just off to this side over here, and this little old lady comes forward during the service. I didn't know her well, but I knew she was a Sunday school teacher. She taught a children's Sunday school class, and she comes up to the talks of the pastor, and they have engaged in a conversation at the front, and she sits down. The service draws to a close, and he invites her to come up, and she asks if she can share for a few moments to talk to the congregation, and she says, I've been coming to church my whole life. I have been teaching Sunday school for years, and this morning I realized that I had never had a relationship with Jesus. I just grew up doing church, and this morning I want to come and confess to the church and confess to God that I need to come into a relationship with him and accept his message of salvation. And I'd say I pondered that for a long time as a young 20-year-old who was trying to figure this whole thing out, because I was like, if she wasn't saved, what does that make me, right? And so I'm figuring this stuff out, and I had to really work through this in my life. And what does it mean to be saved? And am I really a believer in Jesus? And I wonder how many people sit in churches every week and go through the motions of Christianity, and we're invited to respond to that right message of Jesus. You see, our eternity is at stake here. And this message requires us to go. In verse 14, it says, the end, how will they hear without a preacher? In verse 15 says, and how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful the feet of those who bring good news of good things. We have to go and tell. I had a life-changing event that happened to me just a few years ago. I had a young man who was in our college ministry, and my conversation with him just drastically changed how I viewed this whole message. Chad had come to our college ministry for a while, and we're up at our camp at a retreat, sitting around the fire pit one night, and Chad and I are having a conversation. And I knew that he wasn't a Christian, and so as we begin to talk, the conversation steers towards spiritual things. And Chad and I move over to the side a little bit, and we're sitting on some logs, and we're talking. And I went through the same passages of Scripture that I went through earlier as I visited with Chad. And Chad sat there that night by that fire, and he gave his life to Jesus. And then he said these words to me, and these words have stuck in my heart, and they ring in my mind. And he says this to me, I've always known I've needed this. I was waiting for somebody to tell me. He knew that there was something missing from his life. He knew that he wasn't in right relationship with God, and he had no idea what to do. And he was waiting for somebody to tell him. See, we have to go, and we have to proclaim, and we have to tell. We can go in our own traffic patterns. It's not like we have to go across the world to do this. In our own traffic patterns, we have people that we work with who aren't believers. They have people in our life every day that we can talk to. We have family members who aren't Christians that we can share the gospel with. Our students, we have teachers, we have professors, we have classmates, people around us every single day. You know, you have the waitress in the restaurant or the clerk at the store. We're surrounded by people in our traffic patterns all the time. You know, we can invest ourselves in different traffic patterns. Child of Vacation Bible School, being involved there and sharing about Jesus, a troubled youth, getting involved in community opportunities, things like the rescue mission or our Love in Action, different opportunities we have to share the truth and share the gospel. We need to go different places and to be able to share. Now, we may not always see immediate results, and it's not always easy. When I heard messages like this, you know, I had people share, and they would talk about the salvation, and they would make you feel guilty for not sharing, and they would share stories like this. Well, I was on an airplane, and on the way here, and I sat down next to somebody, and in 30 seconds, you know, they were weeping and receiving Christ. And I'm like, I've been on a lot of airplanes, and I'm just hoping the person doesn't fall asleep on me and drool on my shoulder, let alone having a gospel conversation. Or you have the people that say, you never, I did this, and we expect these immediate results, and sometimes we get discouraged because we don't see these immediate results. Let me tell you, invest in people. Spend time loving people, sharing the gospel. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it'll take, you know, it can take a minute or 2 minutes. Sometimes it takes 10 or 15 or 20 years of investing in somebody. But the gospel's worth it. Their salvation is worth it. Spending that time going where we are. And we also need to go where we are not. We have to be involved where we aren't. Our church has ministry in Haiti, and we go to Calgary, Canada, and we have a group of college students that goes to Dallas, and we have a ministry in the Midwest just north of us, and we have the opportunity to go to these places. But I understand that not all of us can go to Haiti. That's not possible, but be involved in going. And we do camps on the mountain, and not all of us can go to camp. Not all of us, we have a great children's camp, but not everybody needs to go to children's camp. Some of you have no business going to children's camp. Some of you have no desire to go to children's camp because there's children there. Right, and you don't like them, and they don't shower. Right, you get these little boys that go to camp all week, and my goal is to get them in the shower at least one time. And a few years ago, a little boy, I got him in the shower, and he was there, and he was gone for like, I don't know, 6.5 seconds, and he comes back, and he's completely dry. And I said, I thought I told you to take a shower. He says, I did. I said, you're not wet. Well, I didn't use water. I said, then you didn't shower. Right, if you don't use water, it's not a shower. Right, so not everybody needs to go to children's camp. Not everybody needs to go to youth camp. Not everybody can go to China or to Haiti or to Calgary. But we all have to be involved in proclaiming the gospel. We all have to do that. And so here's the thing. We got to be intentional about it. You know, there's two ways to do things. You can have this mindset, I sure as heck am not going to go to camp. Here's $20. Take a kid to camp. Or you can have the mindset, I can't go to camp, but I want to invest in a kid. Let me give you some money to help that kid go to camp. So you can have the mindset that I don't want to go overseas to missions, so I'm going to throw some money in the offering plate so maybe God won't call me. Or you can have the mindset, I can't go overseas to do missions, but I want to be involved in missions. I'm going to give some money so that I can spread the gospel. You see the difference in the attitude? Or maybe it's this. I can't give. I don't have the means, and I can't go. But how can I pray? How can I pray for you as you travel to Haiti? Ed, who are you taking to camp? Do you have some kids that are lost? Can I pray for them specifically the week you're at camp? Or you get this. I'll pray for you. All right? Different in the attitude. We need to be partners in participation and proclaiming the gospel and going. See, we can be part of the beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And we can be a part of the beautiful feet by going. We can put on the shoes and we can head out. And we can be part of the beautiful feet by putting some money in an offering plate or helping out and saying, financially, how can I be involved? And we can be part of the beautiful feet by praying. But we have to be intentional. You see, the gospel message is the message we have to proclaim. Our first year in Haiti, we were serving with another team, and I was visiting with one of the leaders of the other team, and we were talking, and he said words that really just break my heart. And he said to me, he says, I love trips like this. We can come down here and do some work, and we can paint, and we don't got to worry about the gospel. And I thought, what a waste of time. It's a waste of time to go someplace and do a little bit of work and do a little bit of painting and not proclaim Jesus. We get to go and proclaim our Savior. And so this morning, as we come to a time of invitation, a time of decision, let me just ask you this morning, how do you respond to today's message? First of all, let me ask you, where are you with this gospel message? Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe this morning's the time to come and say, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to know what it means to really, truly follow Him. Maybe this morning you need to figure out how are you involved in this whole big thing of sharing the gospel, taking this message to the nations. And the nations begin with the people who walk, they're outside these doors, and they extend to the ends of the earth. How are we to be involved? What can we do? How is God speaking to us?